Good morning, everyone. It's a joy for Dorian and me to be here and to come back home. As you learned, we have been associated with Northwest College and, well, it was Northwest Bible College. You still study the Bible here, right? Okay. And two of our older daughters attended Northwest. Debbie, who is now married, and she and her husband are working in Calvary Community Church, San Jose, California, where Doug is junior high pastor. Our second daughter, Judy, attended here also and is now married, and her husband is working at another college. I wouldn't mention the name of that, but I'll spell it. It's B-E-T-H-A-N-Y, Bethany, something like that. But she's very happily married and serving the Lord. And our youngest daughter, Angie, is serving the Lord as well. We praise God for that. I want to have my young wife stand this morning, the mother of our three daughters, Doreen. We have many fond memories of Northwest. Back when it sat over there where the freeway is now. In fact, we were remembering when we were ASB leaders that that year of 1955, when we had a student body of about 200, we raised $5,000 in a penny drive, which seemed like a lot of money back in the 50s. And so we contributed the first $5,000 for the student union building, which you have sitting on your campus here. Though we never saw it, we gave by faith, and I'm glad they were good stewards with the money and spent it in the right place. So that was kind of exciting for us. And over the years, we have received the news from Northwest College and just praise God for the great student body that we see today and this beautiful campus that you're enjoying. And just praise God. I thank God for each one of you that is here today. I really do. I praise God that you are here. You have responded to the call of God and the direction of God to come and study here and prepare yourself for the ministry or for whatever calling God has laid upon your hearts. And I just pray that God will bless you today and He will inspire you and He will help you to fulfill the greatest desires that He has placed in your heart as you desire to serve Him. We're working with ICI, International Correspondence Institute, which you probably know something about. I would just like to bring you up to date. We're reaching out to 164 countries in the world out of the 212 that are in 85 languages. Of the 5,000 different languages and dialects that exist in the world today, we've got a long ways to go, but we praise God that we're making a little dent in that big challenge out there. And we've recently been working with our 120 offices that we have overseas that serve all of these countries, helping to set up directors, either nationals or missionaries, to carry on the work of ICI in their own country and in their own region. In the last 21 years, there have been over 6 million students that have enrolled with ICI around the world. We praise God for that. And of those who have enrolled, 340,000 have responded, saying that they have accepted the Lord as their personal Savior by their own volition as they have filled out the decision card and sent it in. So we praise the Lord for the effectiveness of this ministry. ICI has some tremendous challenges before it, and as we have time this morning, I'm going to try to give you a 20-minute message in 13 minutes that we have left here. But we thank God for the challenge that He's given all of us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I thank God for your openness and your willingness to respond to God in whatever way that you can today. I read a statement in a publication not too long ago. It was a part of a speech that was given at a general council, not of the assemblies, another organization. And it said something like this: the future is not what it used to be. And I really laughed about that. I thought, you know, hey, this guy wasn't thinking too clearly when he said, the future is not what it used to be. But the more I thought about it, I thought, hey, that's true. Because what I thought a few years ago would be the future is not the future at all. It has totally changed. It's a moving target. It's pretty hard to nail it down, but by the time you get there, by the time you graduate, things will have changed a lot. There are some things that will not have changed, and that is, of course, one is that people are lost without Christ and they need to be saved. But the way we go at it, the way we go about evangelizing the world may change in many ways. But I thank God that the Holy Spirit is the author of life. The Holy Spirit is creative, and as He calls us and works in our lives, He's able to help us be prepared for the future when we get out there. Of course, I know that you're busy serving the Lord here and now, but let's be encouraged as we give our lives and our future into the Lord's hands that He will help us to be prepared to face the challenges that are out there. I won't take time this morning. There isn't time to read a couple of verses that I would like to read, but I'll just refer to the references in Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36, or 32 to 36. It refers to the fact that God's ways are past finding out. How unsearchable are His ways. In Isaiah chapter 55, it says, as God speaks, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so much higher are my thoughts and my ways than yours. And then coming to Psalm 103 in verse 7, it says, God made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the children of Israel. So it looks to me like there's a little tension there. God's ways are past finding out, and yet He does reveal His ways to His people. The challenge to me and the challenge to all of us as we serve God is to discover God and to discover what His ways are, and then to watch Him act and to watch Him perform His will and His way through us and in the lives of other people. There's some exciting things happening in the world today, and they don't always happen exactly the way we think they would. I was interested to read in a magazine recently that farmers down in some of the farmland of New Mexico and Arizona are using laser beams to level their land. Rather a revelation to me. I used to do a little bit of farming on a very small acreage when I was a kid. Never thought that a laser beam would have anything to do with truck farming, but so it is. I read recently or some time ago that the graphite that you put into a lock to make your key fit easier or make that lock work better, when it travels to outer space, becomes an abrasive. Didn't know that. Something new. And I didn't realize that when I began working at ICI that we would be conferring on a daily basis via satellite to our office in Fort Worth, using the source to send messages. I didn't realize that we would be exploring the possibilities of sending examination grades back and forth from Brussels to Africa, that dark continent of Africa where everybody is so uncivilized and savage and all. But now the possibilities are there so that students who are studying ICI courses in East and the 800 students who are studying in South Africa, many of them can take their final exams, have them sent to Brussels, and the grade sent back via satellite to our office in South Africa. So some interesting things are happening. You know, a few years ago, when I read about computers being used in missions, I thought, how in the world can you ever use a computer to do a spiritual work? But I'm encouraging young people, I'm encouraging them everywhere I go to utilize all the knowledge or get all the knowledge you can about computers, because you're going to be staring one in the face if you get involved in missions sooner or later. There's a whole lot more to do than sit and write letters if you can have the computer do it. There's a lot more to do than try to compile figures if you can let that computer run while you're doing something else. So there's some fascinating things out there in the world before us. The world is growing by a tremendous rate. In some parts of the world, for instance, in India and in Bangladesh particularly, every 3 to 4 months, the population is increasing by 1 million. I read of a devastating flood that took place in Bangladesh not long ago, and there were 10,000 people who were wiped out by a flood that washed away their homes and washed them out to sea, as they had been living in these hovels that were built out in the delta area of this river. And as the flood came, it swept them out and killed them. They drowned, 10,000 people. And then the commentator who was writing this article said, according to the birth rate, those 10,000 people were replaced within 24 hours. Tremendous challenge in this world. We need to be winning the lost for Christ. We need to be doing all we can to reach out and save them with the gospel that Christ has given to us. The future isn't quite what it used to be when we consider the population growth and also the changes in demographics. In Latin America, 50% of all of the people living in Latin America, south of the border, down Mexico way and clear on down to the tip of South America, 50% are 15 years old and younger and under. 15 years and under. So if we're going to do missionary work in Latin America and other parts of the world where this figure is almost the same, it might in some places be 18 years and under. I trust and I pray that we'll be able to send out teams of youth who can relate to youth and win them for Christ and send along others who will be able to plant churches and establish these people in the faith. What a tremendous challenge lies before us. In 1992, the Olympics will be in Barcelona, Spain. And I understand that the Assemblies of God here in the U.S. is going to be putting together a team of 500 young people who will join with another 500 in Spain for evangelization of the people that will be attending the Olympics. If you speak Spanish, or if you're learning Spanish, just learn it real well, and maybe you'd like to volunteer to be on that team. Or if you speak French, or any of the major languages that will be represented there at the Olympics, maybe you'd like to volunteer for involvement in this team. In 1992, in the city of Seville, Spain, there's going to be a tremendous outreach there to the World's Fair that will take place in Seville, 1992. We were in Madrid recently, and we met the man who is in charge of all of the evangelistic outreach in Spain for the World's Fair. He's a member of the Assemblies of God Church there, praise God. And so we're going to be tying in to that ministry with ICI materials so that we can have an outreach to all of those that will be attending the World's Fair from all over Europe and, of course, other parts of the world as well. We thank God for the possibilities that we have to reach out to the world with the gospel. There's a great radio transmitter that is being built on the island of Saipan. You may have read about Saipan in World War II. One of the terrible, decisive battles took place there between the Japanese and the Americans in the 40s. But now on this island of Saipan, through a combined effort of HCJB and FEBC, a 500,000 watt shortwave radio transmitter is being built, which with repeater stations will be able to cover all the world with the gospel outreach. And we're thrilled to know that ICI courses are going to be a part of the programming on this radio shortwave station. Praise God for this. Well, so many other things we'd like to say, but time is nearly gone. I just want to leave with you the thought that God's ways are not our ways. We need to be tuned into Him and keyed in to what God is doing. God is full of surprises. God, yes, there are many things about God that never change. God is love. God is faithful. God cannot lie. But in God's operation in this world, as we reach out to that lost world, there are so many ways that He can work. But He wants us to be flexible. He wants us to be in touch with Him so that we can learn his ways and then see him move in our lives to reach a world without Christ. It's nearly impossible. It's nearly impossible to reach the world by human means, and yet God has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So there's the challenge. Let's believe that it can happen and it will happen as we present ourselves to the Lord. Now, Moses learned the ways of God, and how did he do it? He learned the ways of God by fellowshipping with God, by spending time in God's presence. He learned the ways of God as he was obedient in the beginning of his ministry on the backside of the desert, sort of like we are, learning and studying and plugging away day after day and being faithful in the tasks that lie before us and seizing every opportunity that we have on a daily basis and on a weekly basis. And then he learned the ways of God as he obeyed and as he held out the rod and watched God perform miracles, not really knowing just how God was going to do it or how it would ever happen, but watching God work, and his faith grew. And so we can, as we exercise faith and use what God has placed in our hands, in our minds, in our hearts on a daily basis. So let us learn God's ways and also learn how he acts in and through and among us. There's a world out there that needs Christ. And I pray that God will fill our hearts with the same compassion that Christ had that will cause us to weep over the lost. When Jesus sat and looked over Jerusalem, and he wept, and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not." But Jesus went ahead to the cross, and he gave himself for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. He laid down his life, and the scripture says he took it up again and promised us eternal life. And then he said, "As the Father sent me, even so send I you." And that command is still fresh and new today. So may we respond to God and say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you that you saved us. Thank you that you called us. And we say, "Lord, here am I, send me. Burden my heart afresh and anew with the needs of the world, and help me to be a channel of your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen."
The International Correspondence Institute, of course, is an avenue of ministry service that many people can be involved in. Whether you can preach or not isn't real important for ministry there, because there are so many different opportunities. Educators to write materials, educators to do instructional design, work on the courses, graders, typists who can prepare the lessons and type them, send them out, technical people with radio and television and taping materials to put the materials in those kinds of forms and send them out, as well as scattered all around the world in distribution and things of that nature. So here's a great tool that God has brought together in these last days as one of the means of gathering in this last day's harvest. Well, if any of you have interest in talking with Brother Thompson about the possibility of future ministry with ICI, I'm sure he'd be delighted to talk with you. God bless you. Have a good day.